Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 KOA in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie, and today I think I have with me like the quintessential 900 Views guest, because this is someone who is both artist and an intentional builder of the arts community. Rachel Boozy is a sculptor and founder of Art Beacon, an invaluable online arts calendar and resource for area artists and the public. She founded it in 2012, and she's been at it ever since. She's also the co-owner of Portrait Studio, where Des Moines area professional portrait artists travel to parties, fundraisers, weddings, other engagements, and enrich the event with their talents. And she has her own podcast with artist Rob Stevens called Where You Go, I Go. So with that, I've got to get a little bit started because you've got a show coming up and I just want to make sure people are aware of it. And it's called Don't Forget. So don't forget.
Yeah, don't forget.
And it's at the Times Gallery in Prairie Lights, March 22nd through April 19th.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the sculptures we'll be seeing there.
I've been spending some time in my studio kind of digging through the piles of starts that I've made over the years when you just come in and you're just like, I don't know what to do. And then you sew something together and you're like, this is ugly. And you throw it in the pile.
Soft sculptures, everyone. Soft sculptures.
Yeah, everything is squishy. And so I just started kind of Frankensteining those starts together. And when it seems like too ridiculous to go forward, that seems like the right decision. So I'm really excited to see all the works in the cafe. It's a very like intimate place, so I think these soft squishy things are going to be protruding. They're going to be adding a lot of random color, a lot of random pattern, and it's kind of just about remembering the fun about making art. You know, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and after a while you kind of get into some patterns of working, or it gets a little predictable, or you start to worry, like, is this consistent? And really, it's not really about any of that. It's about, like, enjoying and play. And I mean, I think of my work as a lot about play in general, but sometimes I don't feel like I'm playing because, you know, it consumes your whole life. So this show, it's got no pressure on it, and I'm just enjoying it. And so I hope that when people see the works and they're like, what the hell is that? That's going to be great.
Well, when they say, what the hell is that? That's a good reaction as far as you're concerned.
Yeah.
And that's because it means what?
You know, like, it's inconceivable, or like, why choose that? Or those colors don't go together. Like, it's just about like making something outside of the rules or outside of what's prescribed. You know, like, it's risk-taking and just seeing what happens. And I've got a bunch of, like, hardware in this Tupperware over here, and so I'm, like, trying to, like, attach some, like, bolts and handles to the soft things. And when you do that, it's kind of like, what do these become? Do they have utilitarian function when it's totally, like, absurd? I don't know. I think it's going to be really fun. Another source of some of the pieces in the show, last year for Art Week, we had a slow parade, and we started in the Old Guild with Olson Larson. They have like a project space.
Yes.
All these people came inside this giant red soft square, and it was filled with squishy sculptures, and people picked out a sculpture, and then we emerged from the red square, walked in slow motion around Valley Junction, and then we emerged back into the red square, which was called the inside. So we started inside, and then we went back inside. So those pieces from that are being made into compositions for wall hangings. That piece right there that you guys can't see on the podcast.
Well, we'll show a picture of it. We'll post it with the podcast.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is going to be from that. And then the other thing that's cool about the show is there's a publication going with it. And so that's going to show the slow parade. And then those pieces from the slow parade are going to be on the wall with some of these other kind of collaged Frankenstein
things.
Yeah,
and you mentioned a piece related to this. What's the website you were talking about earlier with just me? Or was it a Facebook page?
Yeah, so one of the exciting things that happened in the Slow Parade is someone posted a video on People of Des Moines, which is kind of like a hater Facebook group where they like critique people out in public. And so people were like, what is this? Kind of like maybe having that reaction that I'm anticipating some people might have in the Don't Forget show. And so in the publication, along with the photos of, from the Slow Parade, will be the 300 comments that was generated from this video. And it's kind of wild because while we were walking, like the feeling of going at a slow pace, the environment and the experience of it seems totally disconnected from the perceptions of people like trying to judge it from afar. So I like that juxtaposition of like these, you know, there's children, people are smiling, it's summer, it's a beautiful day. And then there's just like so much anger and so much judgment. And I like when art kind of like doesn't necessarily have an essential purpose or message, but like people still can't stand it. Like they just can't stand that people would be walking in slow motion. Like, how dare you do something different than I would do? How dare you hold something squishy while you walk around? Like, it's so absurd. And we're living in that all the time. So it's really fun to poke at these kind of like boundaries that we're existing in.
So you see the role of the artist a little bit as provocateur.
Yeah, and I don't even see myself as very provocative. I feel like I'm doing very tame, joyful colors. But you can still like really rile people up without doing all that much.
Well, and you kind of alluded to a continuum that I was just talking to some people about today, this idea of, on the one hand, art being functional, and on another hand, you were referring to it as kind of joyful or colorful. The other end of that might be beauty.
Mm.
So where do you want to see the Des Moines art world land on that continuum?
Oh, the whole of it? I guess where I'm in the community, the thing that I want to encourage more is more spontaneous, more play, more pop-up, more surprise, more thinking outside of the box. You know, a lot of people talk about that we need more venues and we need more like funding and things like that. We actually have, I think, like a giant pile of resource that, if we just think about it a little bit differently, actually could provide all of those things that we say that we need without someone having to like descend from heaven and give it to us. I think we can make a lot of those things happen. And I think that's kind of how, when I dropped in Des Moines 10 years ago, I didn't know anybody and I didn't know how I was going to like make a job out of being a sculptor, but I got really busy really fast just trying to make opportunities where I thought maybe I could manipulate, take advantage of the space and the experience and the, you know, who I knew.
Well, and to your point, you kind of have started to fill a need, haven't you? I mean, not started. You've been filling a need for almost 8 years now with your Art Beacon publication. It's really an incredible resource, arts calendar. Was that what you were purposely trying to do, was sort of connect the arts community a little bit through that publication?
Yeah, I was looking for the arts community, and you would go to the Art Center and you would see the shows there, but were those the artists making in town? And I just couldn't seem to find where my art family was or who would become my art family. And then there was like a meeting to like try to encourage new audiences to come, I think, to the Art Center. And I just got this idea of like a Tumblr page where there's no hierarchy, like the pop-up show on the corner and the Art Center is equal in Art Beacon's eyes. Everyone gets to be a part of the calendar, no matter how much preparation or thought went behind it. All the art experiences are worth being recognized because artists put a lot of like their heart into it. Even if it's something spontaneous that they just like picked up out of a pile and sewed this thing to this thing, like that might have been easy in the moment, but like it's coming out of a continuous practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Des Moines owes artists here some recognition, like thank you for putting your paintings on the wall. Thank you for trying to upset me during the farmer's market. you know, like, yeah. So I think when I started Art Beacon, I was kind of thinking about to create something for individual artists to give them a little bit of a platform and recognition. And it's helped me like follow what opportunities are going for artists. I remember when I came to town, there was like a $10,000 opportunity with DMAC. Mm-hmm. And I like learned about it on the last day. And I was just like, we need a calendar. We need something where we can always know. It's just consistent. And Art Beacon isn't perfect. It's not always as comprehensive as I would like it to be. But I like that I can provide that, and I like that it is consistent, and I have kind of like a rhythm down with it. Over the years, now the Iowa Arts Council also has a really juicy opportunities calendar, and I think we kind of support each other with that. I check their calendar, they check mine, and so
you can't have too many of those, honestly.
Over the years, like those resources, I think we're all better at Facebook and we're all better at the internet than we were a decade ago. So, yeah.
It's kind of coming together in that way. I find it interesting on your webpage, I think it's, or maybe it's in the Portrait Studio webpage, there's a photo of a tent and it says Real Art by Real Artists.
Oh, yeah.
Why was that necessary?
One of the great things about Portrait Studio, I think, is that 10 minutes when someone sits down for their portrait and you have this nice, intimate moment with a local artist. The most recent event that we did was at the State Fair with legislatures from Capitol, and they were gathered there to learn about Iowa's travel resources or whatever. So we got invited by the Iowa Arts Council. And I got to sit down with some of our legislators and just like talk to them about what their day was like and what bills did they work on that day. And then after 10 minutes, I give them a piece of art. And just what transpires when people sit down and, you know, there's kind of this like nervousness, like an apprehension. Do I want to do this? Are you going to make me look old? Don't draw my wrinkles. Don't draw this or whatever. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to do all the hard work. Just relax. and then they get bored. You know, 10 minutes is a long time when you're just sitting there staring at someone doing all the drawing. And then there's kind of this magic reveal. And people are surprised at like, oh, I didn't know it was going to look like that. Or, wow, that's really cool. And so I think that face-to-face connection is just really valuable. And that's why I think Portrait Studio continues, because it's kind of got that little bit of magic of interaction, but it's not, it can be introverted a little bit. You know, we can be quiet. We don't always have to be talking, but we're still connecting.
Well, that's meaningful, but you did mention the face-to-face. And so yeah. I've got to ask, in the spirit of the coronavirus world in which we live now, and that this is a program about building community with the arts.
Yeah.
And you're a creative person, obviously, and creative in your approaches to community building. What are you seeing potentially on the horizon for how we kind of take care of ourselves physically while still staying connected and honoring some of our great traditions like Art Week that you're so heavily involved in?
Yeah, tomorrow night's the Art Week kickoff. And we are talking about like what's going to happen within a potential of a quarantine or something like that, where large groups of people don't want to spend too much time together. I'm not super worried about it. I'm waiting to see like what the instructions are, and then we'll follow in line with whatever is best for everyone. I think it's going to be okay. And when I was talking to David, who started Art Week, you know, I was like, we can do online shows. We can do...
Yeah, I was going to say, you've done digital gallery. You do digital galleries yourself, or have?
I've done maybe not tradition, like where there's like a website and it's like a whole show. I've never done one of those. But Art Beacon's Instagram page is a residency. So every 2 weeks, artists get to take that over and show their process and their body of work. And I really love that project. So that can continue. What was the other idea that I had? Wall. If Art Week is quarantined, how do we still Art Week? I mean, the internet, I think, just provides like so much fun that we can maybe Photoshop ourselves into Moberg, or, you know, who knows what can happen. It would be an interesting creative challenge, you know. I'm not worried about it.
Okay. But you see pathways that we'll just secure
for sure.
Through.
I mean, if we're all sitting at home, like being bored, there's going to be so much creative invention and figuring stuff out.
So one more thing before we go. I loved this opening line of, I guess, essentially your artist statement on your webpage, where Rachel Boozy is inspired by playgrounds, fantasies of grandeur, and real estate listings. You just have to tell me more.
So the reason those three things make sense to me is I like to make my work interactive if I can. Fantasies of grandeur. I'm just obsessed with going big. And even this show for Don't Forget, the first piece I made is this tiny one that's real skinny. And then everything else just is like getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's like a 4x5 piece at my house. So I intended to do everything small, maybe like under 10x10 inches, and it just gets bigger.
The fascination with that scale, with that size?
I mean, when I went to school for sculpture, it just felt exciting. It feels exciting to make a whole room that can you can get immersed in. I don't know. Yeah, there's just something about being surrounded and just the surprise of it taking over a space. And then that kind of leads to the real estate listings. Like before Art Beacon, I had a website called Home Explorer, and it was just an obsessive posting of online real estate listings. And at the time, it was right when I moved to Des Moines, all those foreclosures were happening in 2008. Oh. Again, the internet wasn't new, but it's had new things like Zillow.com. And all of a sudden, all of these personal spaces were just posted online. You could see every room. I think I knew intimately all the houses for sale in Des Moines. Like, I could just drive down the street and I'd be like, there's a green bathroom in there. That one has pink carpet.
Wow.
It got to like a dangerous level of like just being
obsession.
So emotionally connected to these houses. The last one that I fell for, and then I had to shut it down, was this giant mansion that was, well, it wasn't a mansion, but it was like a mid-century modern sprawling ranch. And it was owned by Reiner Plumbing in West Des Moines. And it was for rent, and we got in there and the walls were textured. It was built in the 40s. So it was like really good bones, pink awnings, copper gutters. I was just so in love with this space. It had this park-like setting, and the owner was just holding on to it to eventually knock it down and build like retirement homes. And we were devastated. And it held out until last year, and it now is knocked down, and it's like a medical building or something. But just like
you should see her face,
the imagination of my mind of like what this space would mean and what it would feel like to inhabit it, and the history there, and just how beautiful it was, it just like consumed me. And I think that like obsession with like space, I mean, is a very sculptural thing. So.
Well, I was going to ask, and it's, I think you may have just answered my question. I was talking to Siobhan Spanaday, who's the executive director of Mainframe, for those folks who don't know. And she said that she was smitten with you when she first saw you make a presentation called Heavy Houses.
Yeah.
And of course, engineer in me, I'm going heavy. They must be weigh a lot. But that's not what she think you meant. She thinks you meant by heavy. More profound, more substantive, meaningful. Is that correct?
That term came from a poem that was called Furniture, and it was kind of, it actually wasn't really about idolizing. Well, yeah, it was kind of a critique on houses and how we like collect all of these things and it actually weighs us down. And I think in the poem, like the youth don't want those things and they carry the house, their own house on their back and are more like free to move around. But I loved that description a lot. Again, it's very sculptural, it's big, it's weighted, and if anything, it's probably like more of an emotional term than like the houses are actually heavy. Yeah, I mean, that house like was very heavy on my heart, the one that I just described. You know, and since then, you know, I've done a lot of I've been trying to like incorporate sculpture into private spaces. I did do a private commission in Ames where I spent the weekend at a friend's house and, in their space built a sprawling yellow shape in their window. And I wanted to do, and that project was called House Sitter, so that there would be these like kind of creatures. They don't really have like eyes or bodies, but they are bodily. And I would like to do more of those. I've done some paintings in like interior design books to kind of like get into that process of thinking about what are these things that don't belong? What would they do? What would they look like in those spaces? So yeah, the obsession is still there.
Final switch of gears. How would you rate the health of the arts community, or as you phrased it, arts family, that you went looking for here when you started Art Beacon?
It definitely feels like a family. Like, I feel very well taken care of. I'm super busy. I think there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity to grow. But I actually, as I've talked to a lot of people about what do we need, what do we need to change, I'm actually feeling very accepting of how Des Moines ebbs and flows. Actually, Amy Putney Koenig, she's a local artist. She was also commenting that Des Moines has a natural ebb and flow. Like sometimes the art community is really wild and really strong and there's a lot going on and then people move or people transition and then it kind of gets quiet every once in a while. And so I'm kind of open to what the community wants to do. And I don't really feel like worried about it or that it needs to be like New York or it needs to be like anywhere else. I think we need to just love ourselves, love who we have here, support each other in whatever way we can, allow artists to work alone in their basement. Like, I kind of, after doing my Iowa Arts Council fellowship, there was like so much you can do for like marketing and making yourself bigger. And after all of that, I was just like, you know what? Artists deserve to work alone and protected in their space. I think it's healthy. I think it should be allowed. And then when they're ready, they can come back and show what they made. I don't want any pressure on the artist. They should be allowed to do whatever they want in any way that they want. If their work looks ugly, if it looks messy, I support it 100%. Don't worry about what anything out here is talking about, thinking about. Just do your work. It's fine.
And I think that's an important message for my fellow art moms out there. It's one I had to learn. I hope I've accomplished it. Rachel, I want to remind people to not forget.
Yeah, don't forget.
The Times Gallery in Prairie Lights, March 22nd through April 19th. You're going to see some surprising, potentially provocative, soft sculpture from Rachel Boozy, our guest here on 900 Views. A shout out to Mainframe Studios, to the Fitch here, room Studio 305, where I am, and to Siobhan Spain, to Justin Mandelbaum, and then to my collaborator, Alex Cooney. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.